that Joe was on the list, then Alex, then Christine.
Just
kind of. Sorry, I skipped Kenny. I think Kenny was on.
Go ahead, Kenny.
This conversation, other than the I agree with no money, but and one reason is because of a very powerful concept that Brewster articulated the best this morning, and that is that, I'll put it in my words, look at all of us spending all this time working on this issue to dealing with robust, honest, aggressive searches and et cetera, ultimately to deal with a body of works owned by people that, for the vast majority of them, the copyright owner who is out there doesn't care. And a robust, honest search is, for the most part, going to underscore that point, that the owner out there doesn't care. And therefore, if we're putting money on it, from an economic analysis, what's an arm's-length dollar licensing fee between somebody who wants to use it and somebody who doesn't care? The dollar amount is zero. It's zero from an economic analysis. So stay away from money.
I definitely agree with the escrow isn't something we'd be favorable to, only because I guess the way I look at it as an escrow, it's an insurance policy. I don't know about you, but over the years with insurance policies going up, the people that drive properly and don't have accidents are the ones that get screwed out of the money, and the folks that ignore it and don't care are the ones that end up benefiting. So I think from there you avoid that. But I got to say something else too, and this comes from a representative of a company who loves taking in money from people, not paying out money. I'll precurse with that. Is that I guess I look at it from this sense on a monetary standpoint. If you enter into a project, whether it's musical, archives, a book program, if you have 10 images that you plan on using, and you've made up your mind to use those 10 images, and you go through all of the due diligence to find the copyright owner, and you only find 5 of them. My point is, again, I'll go back to it before, when you entered into using those 10 images and making that decision, you had some kind of budget or number in mind that you were willing to pay out for those images. So whether or not you find the person up front or they step up later on, you should just understand you were going to use those images. They still own the copyright. You were going to spend money in the first place on using them. What's the difference if you do your due diligence and don't find the person and then they step forward later to pay them before or pay them after? I guess my point is it's an ownership piece, and I look at it as the person owns it, period. I mean, what if, and I'm just stating, what if the person was on a vacation for 6 months, you know, in the Arctic doing some kind of expedition, and you did try to get a hold of them, and you did not yield any kind of verification of it? I mean, I'm just using a far-fetched idea, but that's something that could be possible. What if that happened, and they come back, and your book's being run through the publishing, and they find messages stating that you were trying to get a hold of them, they come to you and say, hey, you know, what can we do to work this out? You had a number up front you were going to use in the first place if you did find them. I guess what I'm saying is that it seems like we're trying to skate paying somebody their due money just because we have this thing called the orphan works going into effect, and I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah, let me I have two on my list. I have Alex and then Christine. Let's take their comments, then we'll take a break, and we'll come back and round this off by talking more about talk about two things: piggybacking or relying on a prior search, and then talk about the limitations on remedies approach that garnered a lot of support in the written comments, and we'll get into questions of exactly what that means, which will take us into our topic, our third topic on what happens when the owner resurfaces.